like really kind of like turning into like anti-vegan leather because like y'all, it's just
It's
plastic.
plastic. It's plastic.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Hate Spinnerbait, the podcast where we hate spinnerbait, but we love the arts. And by definition, the arts have and always will be political. I'm Bethany. As always, is Michael Ann.
Hello, everyone. We got some comments on one of our videos, but you know what? Maybe this is just not the place for you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm not. It's totally fine. It's like the people fine. Who like Star Wars, and then when The Force Awakens came out, we're like, what's up with this woke Disney bullshit? And I'm like, have you not watched Star Wars since it came? Do you not? Like, did we all watch the same movies and you didn't get what it was about? Because and maybe it's not for you, and that's fine. And it's not for everyone, you know? It's cool.
Yeah.
It's whatever. Yeah. But we are here. We're discussing the next two chapters, which are 10 and 11. I also am really excited to show off the most beautiful cup I think I've ever owned in my life. Which is the Glinda cup from Star Wars. From Star Wars. Star Wars, and that was in my head. From Starbucks. I wish it was from Star Wars.
Oh, gosh.
It kind of matches our background really well, actually.
It does.
So it's the cute little – listen, as you said before, I don't know what the, like, you know, marketing budget was for this movie, but I'm happy that everyone and their brother is doing tie-ins with it because this cup is a slay.
I love it. I can't wait to see Wicked this weekend.
I'm hyped. Can't wait. I'm going on Wednesday. Because that's when the girly pops wanted to go. Because that's when, like, we have to work a half day on Wednesday. And then our little, like, Thanksgiving break. And so we're like, let's go see Wicked. So it'll be fun. And good times.
Cute.
We're dressing up in pink and green. It's going to be a whole moment. We love it.
It's I love great. It.
Absolutely fantastic.
Speaking of Thanksgiving, we have a bit of a schedule coming up here.
Oh, yes.
We're going to do today's episode, obviously.
Hi, we're here.
I think we're going to do one Thursday.
Yes, correct.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
So Thursday, we'll have our regular chaos, and then we're going to take Thanksgiving week off.
Yes.
And then we'll be back in our last episode of the year 2024, we'll be December 19th.
December 19th. That sounds right. Let me look at the calendar.
Yeah, that's the last Thursday before Christmas.
Yes. Perfect. That is correct. Yes. December 19th, a day after Luna's birthday, everyone. Happy 14th.
Hey.
And then we'll be back. When is that? The 6th of January. We'll be back the 6th of January. No, that's a Monday. We'll be back the 7th of January. I don't even know our release dates, apparently. Jeez, OP. Yes, we will be back for that.
Excellent.
Excellent. Great. Housekeeping did it. If you're not watching us on YouTube, come watch us on YouTube.
Yes, we're on YouTube.
I think that pretty much wraps up housekeeping. I suppose we can dive on in. Yes, unless is there anything else you would like to say before we dive into these chapters?
No.
No.
I'm sure something will come up while we're reading, though. Let's be honest.
So true. So true. All right. So before we read these next two chapters, just again, a happy little reminder, a little recap, if you will. Our main girl, Sydney, her brother was involved in a drunk driving accident. He was the drunk driver. He paralyzed a kid. Yikes. Not good. He gets sent to jail, obviously, because there should be punishment for paralyzing a child. So he's in jail. Mom's real obsessed. It's like her mission in life is to, I don't know, make his life easier while he's in jail. Mom, dad is a typical absentee, absent father. Ames is a creepo McCreeperston. We love the Chatham family. They're delightful. Mac is a cutie McCuterston, even though his full name is Macaulay, which we're still not over. And Layla is our girl. We love her love for French fries. And that's pretty much what you missed on Glee. We shall dive in now to chapter 10.
Chapter 10, baby.
Baby. Let's do it.
These two chapters really made me kind of look at the parents with a little bit more compassion. Mm-hmm. A little bit. Mm-hmm. Just a little bit. Smidge. But chapter 10 opens with Sydney walking into her kitchen and seeing her dad standing over the newspaper and crying, which is unsettling for her. And basically, he is crying and mom is in bed because the paper came out today and it's all about David Ibarra and his journey through recovery and how he's doing. And that's tough for the family, obviously, because, you know, she feels so guilty. Sydney feels so guilty as if she is the one who did it, which is totally understandable. I think I would feel guilty as well. Like, how do you not? But yeah, dad just shuts the paper and makes her breakfast. Apparently he makes a huge breakfast all the time with tons of eggs and sausage. Very.
That's such a boomer move. Can't relate. I'm like, breakfast? No. We'll have a coffee. It's fine. I wish I was the person who did like a full breakfast.
Sometimes I do.
Yeah? Like are you coming like a breakfast girly? I just like, on work days, y'all, I don't have the time or the energy. On weekends, it's a little bit of a different story. Like, I will breakfast on the weekend, but on work days, I'm like, I can't. That's less sleep that I'm getting, and I just can't sacrifice sleep
for food. If I didn't work from home, it wouldn't happen.
Yeah.
But I work from home, so.
Fortunate.
Anyway, so he makes her a big-ass breakfast, and we are getting little snippets of the article here and there throughout the first couple pages. It is, you know, talking about how David and his cousin are super competitive with video games. And that night he was just playing with them, having an absolute epic game, I believe he says. And he fell asleep. And he woke up around 2 a.m. and was like, oh, crap, I need to get home. My mom's going to be so mad at me. And this is when he gets hit by a car. He has no recollection of the accident itself. But the first memory he has is coming to on the curb, realizing his legs were twisted up behind him, and then the pain. So this story is like, it's awful. This story is really highlighting like the horrible things that he's gone through. And then there's a little snippet here as well about Peyton. He was getting his life together after a string of arrests and drug possession. He completed a stay in rehab and been sober for over a year. But that February night, after an evening spent drinking and getting high, he climbed behind the wheel of his BMW sports car. Like David Ibarra, he was headed home. And I like that they added his BMW sports car, because it like highlights how this is just some rich, privileged kid who just keeps getting into trouble and it doesn't matter to his parents.
Mm-hmm. Nope. He gets a BMW sports car. He gets a recording studio built in his house. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So it's tough. But the doorbell rang. Oh, no, it didn't. She was reading it throughout class. And throughout her whole day, the bell rang. She didn't notice everybody left the room because she was reading it. It's kind of distracting her, like her whole day. She goes to lunch and she's very clearly upset. They're talking about the band's name. Hey Dude is out. They were thinking about the Logan Oxford experience. But Eric is very particular. He's like, that's so far away from what I'm talking about. I just can't even justify it with a response. She's like, What I need is a name that works with the wider concept, not a gimmick. Able to really explain the meaning, the irony, because people are clearly not getting it. I can't have people thinking we're just a retro cover band. And he's like, it's not about covers. It's about the universal experience of mass consumption of music, how a song can remind you of something specific in your own life, like it belongs to you, but how personal can be really be if a million other, but how personal can really be if a million other people feel the same way, blah, blah, blah. I feel like we've heard this like spiel from like every guy I knew in middle school. In high school. So Irv does say, did you take your Ritalin today? Which is pretty funny. as an ADHD person, I'm like, yeah, relatable. But Layla is very in tune with Sydney's emotions. And she's like, are you okay? And she's like, I'm fine. And they just keep like kind of, she keeps kind of like looking at her. Half-hearted bite of the sandwich, and she's just kind of like zoned out, like she is upset. And then she hears Mac ask her if she's okay, and Sydney, and then Layla's like, Sydney, what's wrong? And she just gets like overwhelmed, and she just gets up and leaves. No one said anything as I walked away. Nobody tried to follow me. I went to the bathroom and locked myself in a stall. Finally, I was alone, just like I'd wanted. It felt so awful, like it was just what I deserved.
That's sad. I do love that everyone's very, like, tuned in to her. Yeah. And immediately can tell that, like, something is wrong. Like, it's good. Surround yourself with people who instantly know when you are off. They are worth keeping around, for sure.
Yes. Yeah, these are good friends, for sure. That evening, everything was back to normal at the house. They threw the paper out and they were just moving forward like it didn't happen. She asks after dinner if she can go to Layla's house the next day. Her mom's like, no, we have a meeting with the nonprofit lady and our lawyer to see what we can do to help Sawyer. And she's, you know, Sydney pushes back. She's like, do I really need to be there? Like, and her mom's like, yes, this is about Peyton. And then dad comes in and mom tries to get him on her side. And he's kind of like, I don't see what the problem is. Like, why can't she go? And then he's like, she's like, nobody remembers. Like, I'm the only one. I'm tired of being the only one who seems to care about Peyton. I don't ask you both to visit with me. I don't ask you to keep track of all the dates and issues that must be kept up with. But I think I should be able to ask you to have dinner in your own house if that's not too much trouble. And so then obviously after that, they're like, okay, we'll be there. Yeah, mom's like flipping out. She's like, I'm the only one who cares about Peyton. And it's tough. I do not remember. I was in the middle of a sentence. I have no clue what it was.
You were going. I could see. I was like, oh God, I'm missing things. Hopefully I can fix this quickly. And then it was not a quick fix, y'all. I apologize. Yes. Mom. Okay, here's the deal, Leah.
Yeah.
Mom. Obviously. Again, I'm going to like put my little compassion hat on for a minute. Overall, I'm like, oh my God, like seriously, like you keep acting like there's a scene coming up where they're kind of talking like it's like the PTA and it's not a jail. And it's like, yeah, like he is in jail, like because he did something bad. And again, I'm not saying that means you shouldn't love your kid. You're always going to love your kid. I get that. And I do agree that for proper rehabilitation that like family probably doesn't need to be involved. Like you can't just like let him go off and then he'll get out of jail and have no one and whatever. I get that. So I'm with her to a certain extent, but she is just like, doesn't check in on anyone else's comfort level. And I think honestly what the real issue is dad, because again, like she said, like dad's a fixer, right? Like if he can't fix something, like he just like aborts mission. So he's kind of aborted the mission since he knew that he couldn't fix Peyton because he went to jail, right? So he is being like, you know, unattentive, like not there, destined dad. And mom is really mad at him and poor Sydney keeps getting like the brunt of it. And I understand like it's got to be exhausting. Like she feels like she is the only person who cares is putting in all this effort. And it is her son for crying out loud. And like I totally get that. But I was like, you need to like talk to your husband. Like it's not your daughter's fault. Like Like, I get it. You are upset and you have every right to be. But I'm also with Sydney. Like, what is Sydney going to bring to this dinner? And she's like, we need to present a united front. Who's going to see you but your lawyer who's on retainer? So he's already being paid by you. He doesn't give a shit what united front you have or whatever. And this nonprofit lady, like, again, like, it's no one's going to know who was and who wasn't at this dinner. I understand maybe you want to go to the courthouse and, you know, you want to go see him. Oh, we all need to go and see Payne together. But in this scenario, and I'm like, truly, what is your teenage daughter going to bring to this dinner, ma'am? Like, would love to know.
Yeah, I think that's why she's like, I think that's why the mom has such a boundaryless, very strange relationship with Ames, because he is like the only person that's like, 100% validating all her emotions, first of all, yes, which we'll get to. Yeah. And the only one that like takes the time to really talk to her and listen, which is unfortunate. I wish that she had, you know, her husband had the capacity, or,
you know,
she had a therapist or a good friend, but sounds like she doesn't. And
yeah,
dad, you know, this is a Gen X dad.
Yeah.
He didn't go to therapy.
No.
He was raised by boomers and he internalized that.
Mm-hmm.
And so he has no fucking clue how to navigate this situation at all. And he is certainly not going to talk to his wife about it because he can't even talk to himself about it. You know, like, he can't even face it himself. So it's just a really shitty situation. And it's like the prime situation for a predator to take advantage of a family.
Yeah.
So then the dinner.
Oh, the dinner.
So the dinner is Sawyer, their lawyer.
Sarah, did you do that on purpose? Sawyer, the lawyer.
Sarah. Or was she watching a ton of One Tree Hill and Peyton and Sawyer?
Yeah, just like I gotta know.
But Sawyer's there. The representative from the nonprofit, Michelle is there. Dad's there. Sydney's there. And Ames is there.
Of course he is. This guy.
Ugh. Ames, red Lexus, pulled into the driveway, which, like, we got another dumb rich kid. Also, like, I don't know if this is like a universal experience. It's probably not. This is probably just a complete coincidence. But the like predator that was in my school also drove a red car.
I don't know. I think it is like, I don't want to. Okay. Anyone out there with a red car, no shame. I'm sure you're lovely people. But I do feel like a lot of jackasses do drive red cars, right? Like, I think you have to be someone who has like a bold personality to drive a red car. Again, I know good people that drive red cars, but I also know a lot of bad people.
I did have a red car.
Yeah,
for a little while. I mean, it was like a 2002 car that we bought for like $500, but yeah. Yeah, I don't know. And it's like a cool car too. And I wonder if that's like, because his was like a cool car. It was like fancy, like all this, like, having, you know, like a, he got you and he gets you into your car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, ooh, nice. Yeah. Car. Yeah. Like, it's like a, what is it? Like a mating thing, right? Like in nature, like, you know, like a peacock has its pretty feathers to attract a female. Like, it's the same kind of situation. I think it's like a mating thing.
Yeah. It's like, I have a nice car so that I can groom children into being in inappropriate relationships. So yes. Ames pulls up and he like hugs her. And she's like, this hugging is new ever since that weekend he stayed with me. There's really this part. There was really no way to turn down a hug without looking like a bitch. And these were particularly squeezy and long. That's the problem. That's one of the problems. I'm here to tell you, ladies, look like a bitch, okay?
No.
You do not. Bitch. Oh, you know. You don't have to touch people you don't want to touch. You don't have to hug people you don't want to hug. Mm-hmm. If this creepy ass man is coming in for a hug, you can say, no, thank you.
Big nope. Nope to that. Yeah.
And it's always seen as like, oh, you're being so rude. Oh, whatever. And it's like, no.
No, I don't have to hug someone if I don't want to hug someone. Like, no.
Like,
don't like it.
Yeah, you shouldn't hug somebody unless they explicitly are like into it.
Yes.
But anyway, so he's like, "Are you okay? Rough week?" She's like, "Yeah, mom's inside." And she feels gross. Like, she's like, "I feel like I need a shower." From hugging him, and it's just like, oh, I get like the heebie-jeebies, like the like. Blah, blah, blah,
this guy is so disturbing, honestly.
It's so disturbing. So Michelle is then there, and she seems like kind of surprised by the whole situation. I feel like she thought she was coming over to like meet with the mom only, and was like, "Oh shit, everyone's here, including the whole lawyer."
Yeah, needs to be a united front. And I think this woman was like, "I thought I was just like having a little tea with the mom,
right?
Talking to her about her rights, and now it's like this whole fancy rich people dinner." And I'm like, "Yeah, I'm with you, Michelle." Michelle is like, again, she works for a nonprofit, y'all. She is not rolling in the dough. She rolls up with like some kind of pet hair on her dress. Like, she just seems like a little mousy, like. Like, you know, she seems like one of us. Like, she's a normal person, basically. And these people are not normal. Like, she makes a point of saying, like, "I haven't been to this neighborhood before." Like, she is not rubbing elbows with the Arbors folks often, okay?
Yeah, exactly. So they introduce everybody, and Michelle's very uncomfortable, basically, the whole time. So... Sawyer starts talking about his daughter, Isley. Somebody will tell me.
Yes. Yeah. I think Isley? It could be Isley. I don't know now, y'all. I'm going to go Isley. We're going to go Isley.
Isley, okay. So Isley, his daughter, used to go there, and she, wouldn't you know it, dated Eric, and Sawyer hated him. And I love that.
Yes.
So getting back on course, mom is like, "Sawyer, Michelle was just talking, telling us about some really good opportunities for families to be involved at Lincoln." And right away, Ames is like, "I'm in, tell me more." And Sawyer's hesitant. He's like, "You know, you have to be careful. Like, it might be better for Peyton to just have his life there and his life at home and kind of be able to separate them." And mom, like, can't let this happen. Michelle says Lincoln is a more progressive jail, which is laughable. It's fucking laughable to even say. But their warden is new. He's got a reputation for being compassionate. I would love to know what a compassionate warden is like. How are we measuring this compassion?
Yeah, on a scale of, again, like, this is, you know, North Carolina. So, like, maybe compared to, like, North Carolina wardens, he seems compassionate. Right. But I don't think warden and compassion goes very hand in hand with each other.
Also, people from New York are fucking assholes. And I say that with love.
Yeah, big old assholes. And again, say that with love. I married a guy from New York. But, you know,
I'm from Boston.
They do for a reason.
Yes, exactly. Like, they're definitely not known for being super nice. Especially the cops.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, city cops are not. And again, he just says New York. He could be from anywhere in New York. I understand that upstate New York exists, people. But in theory, most people, when they think New York, do think the city or, you know, whatnot. City cops are always the biggest assholes. But, you know.
They have a NYPD has a bigger anti-terrorism unit than Homeland Security.
That's crazy.
Why?
Same.
Anyway, so yes, Sawyer's like, "This is not good," and she's like, "It's a progressive church. He's got a reputation for being compassionate."
Progressive church.
It's a progressive church.
Also, a thing that doesn't really exist.
I'm reading a book right now about how the Christian right took over, or how evangelicals took over the Christian.
Oh my god!
Right, and it's
terrifying.
It's like there's so many like parallels to what is happening right now that I'm just like, oh, great. We learned nothing.
Yeah, that's crazy. Also, like, not related, but related, y'all. My algorithm, because again, a lot of my algorithm has been like very like political election-y coverage, and then there's like some sprinkling of Taylor Swift and like, you know, whatever else is going on. But because I am, you know, a girly pop who's been watching all these kind of things, you know what else has gotten sprinkled into my algorithm, which I think is so fascinating, is people talking about like trends and how that can kind of like show you where like a country is heading. And I think that that's so true. Like the way like people are doing their makeup and the way they like the outfits they wear and stuff, because like looking at like obviously all fashion and whatever is, you know, cyclical, right? But if you look at the cycles, like think about how, like if you look at like who was about to be sworn into office in like the 70s and like what the 70s started going to in fashion, and then the 80s and how that was kind of a response, and like just like countercultures or whatever, like it's just interesting how it is. And also just like makes me feel better, because again, like I'm not someone who like, I like trendy things, but I'm not on trend, if that makes any sense. Like I'm not always dressing for trend. I just dress like what I like is what I like and whatever. And that made me feel better, because I was like, okay, well, like, I'm not even gonna follow the trends. And if the trends are literally showing us that we were like moving to like trad wife conservative hell, like, no, I don't want to do. But yeah, some very like minimalistic makeup, like natural beauty and like this and that, like different things. And I was like, oh, fuck that. No, we ain't doing that.
And staying on trend is like not sustainable either. I mean, how much useless clothing do you buy, wear a couple times, then never wear again because it was just like a passing trend? It's like,
exactly,
just wear what you're comfortable in. Don't buy things that, you know,
buy secondhand. I watched
a video about clothing waste ending up on beaches in Africa.
Yeah,
what the fuck.
Yeah, that's messed up. Also, I'm, like, really kind of, like, turning into, like, anti-vegan leather, because, like, y'all, it's just plastic.
It's plastic. It's plastic!
Like, honestly, no. Like, I just can't. I can't get behind it. I'm sorry.
No. It's plastic. It's not. No. No. No.
Like, we're all screwed. Like, yes, everyone should try to be better in any way that you can. Like I said, I try to best, like, you know, not to get too bogged down in trends so I can, it's better, you know, like you said, it's not sustainable. But I'm going to go shop at Target. I'm going to order things off Amazon. I do order fast fashion sometimes. I try my best. I've cut down a lot over the years, especially from like when I was in my young 20s to now. But like, it is just impossible in the world we live in. So my thing is always like, try your best, y'all. That's try your all best. You do.
Try your I best. Just like, no one is perfect. I just like don't own a lot of clothes, not because of sustainability, but because clothes are so expensive.
Those are expensive. And also, but, like, a lot of time I just sit around and, like, the same three things anyhow.
Right. Like, I work from home. Where am I going? Right. Like, some days nobody sees me except for my husband. And, you know, he knows what he got.
Yeah, you already married him. Like, he knows. He agreed to these terms and conditions. He signed on the dotted line.
He signed that contract, and it is done.
Binding. All right. That was just a whole random tangent about sustainability and whatever. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry. It's just where my head goes sometimes.
Yeah. Sometimes we chat. I hate to say it. Yeah. Back at this nightmare dinner.
Mm-hmm.
So Sawyer is like really shocked that her mom called the warden, because again, it's not a PTA. It's prison. And she's like, he's like, you really, shouldn't have done that, basically. And she says, I just wanted to know what was going on. And Ames immediately backs her up, which is, you're right, they can't just keep information from you. I think another layer to Ames too that I'm not picturing in my head because I'm so distracted by like how he's a creepy McCreep.
Yeah.
Is he is like some privileged ass white rich kid too.
Oh yeah. Yes.
And like it shows here. I mean, he's also, I think, taking advantage of a vulnerable family.
Yes, that.
But, you know, also this.
Yeah, he is manipulative as all get out in this dinner scene. Like, this is, and again, like you said, like, that's what predators do. And he knows that, like, but it's, bless everything he says to the mom in this scene. I was like, oh my God, dude, we get it. Like,
stop. Do you want to sleep with her? Like,
yeah.
Do you want her to adopt you? Like, what's happening here? she's like, he's like, they can't keep information from you. And Sawyer's like, actually, they can. And I'm like, duh, he's an adult. He's not like a 15-year-old in juvie. Mm-hmm. Like, he's an adult in adult prison. Like, what? He's like, the best thing you can do is just let him serve his sentence. Don't interfere. Let him, like, live his life, which I think is fair.
Yeah. And then mom's like, kind of with Sawyer on this. I'm not saying, like, don't go visit him. Like, if he has a visitation, right. Sure, go see him. But, like, just let him do his time and, like, yeah, stay under the radar and then pick him up from jail.
Like, you know, who knows what the guards and the warden do when they find out that his mom's been calling.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I would not do that personally.
No, like, this is not daycare. Mm-hmm. But she's like, I'm not interfering. And Ames is like, of course you aren't. And Michelle's like, it's important for families to feel involved. And Sawyer's like, no, absolutely not. Like, I've seen a lot of clients in this case. Some things make it harder. Some things make it easier. And mom is like pissed. Mom is just like growing more and more annoyed. And Sawyer will not really let it go. Like, he kind of disagrees throughout the entire dinner, which is fair. Of course, Ames was on mom's side the entire time. And Sawyer says, the basic fact is that no matter what Peyton does, there's always the truth of this case, the facts. You saw the paper this week. And that is also the thing. It's like, regardless of how you feel about Sawyer and the presence you want to give him or whatever,
Peyton,
your son paralyzed a child.
Right.
Exactly. So you kind of have to, like, and then Ames says, you know, totally biased piece. And Sydney is like, biased? Like, how can you even say that? Like, biased? And Ames is like, yeah, it's the way he wrote it. I'm just saying. And it's like, that's just some pissed off person, because what do you mean? They said nothing but the facts, and they should be highlighting this poor kid. He is the victim of the situation. Like,
exactly.
Peyton made those decisions to paralyze someone. Mm-hmm. And like, I have compassion for addicts and addiction, obviously. But I do still feel like, you know, there are things you need to be held accountable for, and paralyzing someone, no matter how deep into your addiction you are, is something you have to live with, something you have to, like, you know, serve time for.
Those consequences. Exactly.
Yeah. Yep. She decides that she doesn't really want to fight with Ames about it, but I fucking wish that she did. But mom is like, of course we feel awful for that boy, but Peyton is our son, our responsibility. We have a duty to look out for him. And Sawyer's like, you can only do so much. Like, you just need to accept that. Like, he's like the only person who's talking sense to her literally at all. He's like, this is just what you have to do. Sydney said it was excruciating. Dad took Sawyer up to his office to show him a new computer. And I bet be like, bro, I know my wife.
Sorry about my wife.
I don't know what to tell you. You're absolutely right. And that's what I think part of it is with the dad too, is like, I think the dad is fully being like, my son paralyzed someone. And much like Sydney, he just doesn't know how to behave with him anymore, because he's like he's probably dealing with like the same thing Sydney is, which is like how, like, the residual guilt left, you know, and especially as a parent, you know, I can't imagine what that is like.
Like, you would feel the amount that Sydney feels responsible. I can't imagine if you're a parent in that situation, how you feel responsible. Like, I raised this kid. I brought this kid into this world. I should have made him a better person. Like, this is as much on me as it is on them, which yes and no to a certain extent.
Yeah.
But in their mind, that I'm sure that that is how they feel. And I just think I think no one wants to, like, stand up to mom, which I understand, because like, mom is like been like a grief spiral and whatever, but like, someone does kind of need to, which again, like, poor Sawyer is the only one in this dinner who kind of is trying to, and she's like ready to fire him by the end of the dinner. She's like, well, we just need, and again, it's like, so privileged white lady, like, like, just, you know, oh, well, I'm a rich person. And if I'm not getting the answers I like, I'll just put my money elsewhere. And it's like, that's not how, like, life works, though. Like, you can buy your way out of a lot of things, but, like, not this situation.
Right. Exactly. And, like, again, people have, no matter how much you love someone, they have to be accountable for their decisions and their choices. Yeah. Ames is like, let's go get let's go get ice cream. After she talks about how she should fire Sawyer, which is just, like, ridiculous. But Ames is, like, hyping her up. He's like, yeah, absolutely, blah, blah, blah. And exactly, thank God someone agrees with me. Not for the first time, I wondered if this was the reason I was so obsessed with David Ibarra and his aftermath and story. Someone had to carry the guilt. If my parents couldn't or wouldn't, it was left to me. Awful.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I do think her parents are probably, I mean, I think dad is feeling it. Yeah. And shutting down because he's a Gen X man. Yeah. And mom is just like, she's, I, like, she doesn't want to feel the guilt.
Yeah, mom is feeling it, but she is pushing it away, and, like, this is her way to push it away. Like, I think if she really were to sit there and think about it, she, like, just wouldn't know what to do. She wouldn't know how to carry on. And so, like, this is a way she can have purpose. And
yeah,
I mean, again, therapy. All of you need therapy.
You all need therapy, my friends.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's creepy. Creepy Ames is like, let's go get ice cream, Sydney. And he's like, she's like, no. And he's like, come on. And mom's like, yeah, you should do it. Then she's like, I'll treat you both. We can both go. And Sydney's like, no, I'm not going to get ice cream. So she leaves. She, like, goes upstairs to get ready for bed, even though it's only 9:30. She sits upstairs and waits for, she sits up there. Oh, wait, hold on. Before that happens, right after the ice cream conversation, mom feels bad for Sydney residually. And she's like, tomorrow is all yours. You can do whatever you want. And obviously, she doesn't mean going to Lila's. But Sydney thinks, but all I wanted was to get out of this house, be somewhere the ghost of my brother, not even dead, didn't haunt every corner. Yeah, like, she needs a new environment. That's why she had to go to Jackson. Like, she needs... Mm-hmm. She needs to separate her life from his, basically, which is fair. But she goes into her room, gets in her pajamas, and is just, like, waiting for Ames to leave, and he just never does. So she creeps downstairs to listen, and Ames is, like, giving mom advice. Like, it's a big adjustment. Imagine what it's like to be in high school and dealing with this. And she's like, I just wish she'd stay at Perkins. I, like, don't know anything about her life anymore. I just don't know anything. And he's like, that sounds like a common feeling for you. And she's like, all I ever wanted was them to be happy. And he's like, happy is a lot to ask for all the time. You know, okay, first of all, I said, what is this lady's deal? He's like 20 years old. And also, the Sabrina Carpenter song that's like, hold on, I need the lyrics now. I need to specifically pull up these lyrics. Yeah. Every self-help book, you've already read it. Cherry-picked lines like they're words you invented. Gold star for highbrow manipulation.
Mm.
Yeah, this whole dumb and poetic song is like dedicated to about
our Ames. Boy Ames.
Yeah. Like, you think
this one's for you, Ames.
You think you're so cool, so smart, so wise, but you're a fraud. But then this kind of makes Sydney sad because she's like, it's hard to remember what my mom was like before all of this. She was full of energy and products, and she always kept us together and kept us moving. And now with her off balance, like, we're all off balance, basically. She wants so badly to talk to Layla about what's going on, but she just can't figure out how to verbalize it. So she just copies and pastes the article to her and hits send and then goes to sleep. Layla does not respond.
Yep.
Which I think is probably because she's also like, I can't do this over text.
Yeah. Which, like, fair. Sometimes it is. Some things are hard to do over text. So, mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, and that is chapter 10. Chapter 10 is a good chapter. On to chapter 11, baby. So yes, it starts off with, I was right. Despite her promises the night before, my mom was not exactly thrilled to discover that the only thing I wanted to do on Saturday was spend the night with Layla. And of course, this kind of annoys Sydney, rightfully so, because she was like, you said it was my day, whatever I wanted to do. And the one thing I want to do, you won't allow. And of course, her mom is like, I don't even know this girl. I don't know this family. You're going over to the stranger's house. And Sydney rightfully points out that she stayed two nights at their house. And she's like, well, Ames was there. It's different. It's like, no. Actually, no. She saved her from Creeper McCreeperston, mom. But okay. And so her mom, of course, is like, which again, you can't be like anything you want. And then be like, I meant going to the movies or out for lunch, not disappearing for a full night to a strange place. And it's like, well, first of all, you didn't say that. And second of all, like, give your kid some credit. Like, I know that, like, Peyton steered you wrong, but she has done nothing. And you keep, like, punishing her and acting like she is going to fly off the handle or something. And no. So, again, I'm kind of proud of Sydney here because she does stand her ground a little bit. And she's like, hey, like, I don't understand. You said I could do whatever, you know. You said that this could be my time. And, like, they're a good family and whatnot. And so, of course, her mom gets dad involved. And she's like, could you weigh in here? And he's like, sure, what's going on? Because, again, he's just eating his eggs, having his little brekkie, not paying any attention to the Dustin dad. And she's like, she wants to spend the night at her friend Layla's house. And, of course, dad is like, and the problem is? And she's like, well, they're strangers, and we don't know them. And this is, and she could be getting up to things or whatever. And it's like, again, just because her son did that does not mean that that's what Sydney's going to do. So she very was like, okay, like, you want to meet them? Let's meet them. Like, we will go to Seaside Pizza, mom. Like, bet. Let's go. I will find my way around this. And so 3 hours later, there they are. And of course, her mom has a hybrid SUV. I was like, oh, yes, of course. And they are getting on into the parking lot of the old Seaside Pizza. The first person that she sees is Mac, and of course she gets a little like, ooh, because she's, you know, like thinking about, like, kind of, you know, like, obviously she has a little bit of a crushy crush on him. Yes. And he's like, hey, Layla said you might be in, and he's like, you know, she'll be here in about 5 minutes. I really like this exchange for some reason between Mac and her mom about the salads. You know, they're kind of like being cordial to each other. And she asks, how are the salads? And I like that he's like, not as good as the pizza. He just, like, I like that he's very honest with her, but it's still, like, very, like, cordial. I don't know. She's like, they never are they? And so she, you know, she kind of, we're like going back in time. She talks about how she had mentioned to Layla, like, texted her, like, hey, is your, like, dad going to be at Seaside? My mom wants, like, a face-to-face before the overnight. And she's like, yep, you know, well, absolutely. Talking about text, she says, don't worry, we clean up well. And Sydney says, texting was always weird when it came to tone. And seeing this, I wondered if I'd offended her. When she walked through the back door 10 minutes later, though, I knew right off I shouldn't have worried. I think especially at this time, like, we were all, like, texting was, like, the norm at this point. But we were still, like, not where we are now. Like, I think the way I can read someone's text messages now is a lot different than I could, like, 10 years ago. So I can understand that. And even then, there are certain conversations that I will not have over text. So I'm like, no, it is just much easier to have this, like, over phone call, whatever. So, yeah, I can understand that. So, anywho, there she comes in. And she is, like, her normal, like, happy Layla self. And she is wearing pulled back in a ponytail, flip-flops on her feet, was a cotton candy yum yum. Her dad was behind her, and she, like, Layla's just, like, such a rock star. Like, she comes in, and it's just, like, such a charmer. She's like, finally, we meet! Like, I'm Layla! Like, she's just been waiting to meet Sydney's mom, you know? And so she's like, you know, I've heard, so mom's like, I've heard a lot about you. And of course, I was like, oh, hopefully only good things. And she's like, probably a lot of it's about food. And so, of course, then Sydney has to explain her, like, weird French fry habits. And again, Layla kind of pokes at herself. Like, she loves French fries and lollipops. And she's like, all, you know, great components of a healthy diet. But yeah, she's just, like, a real charmer with mom, which I love. And then dad comes over, and he's, like, really you know, like, nice. This part rings a little weird to me because he introduces himself as Mac. And she's like, oh, like, same as your son. And it's like, yeah, people have juniors and thirds. Like, that's not an uncommon thing. But again, I just think she's, like, so obsessed with her son that she's like, oh, like, our Peyton's named after my husband. And I'm like, what a weird, that's kind of an odd conversation. But all right. But you know what? Sometimes rich people just don't know how to talk to us normal folks. So maybe she was like, this is a relatable moment for me. So this is the part that I think is really interesting. So she asked about any other children. And, you know, the dad's like, oh, yes, we are Rosie. She's the eldest. And, of course, Sydney, like, wanting to have this family, like, be, like, you know, impressive to her mom is like, yes, like, she was a figure skater. She was great. And, again, Layla just comes in but, like, nails it and is like, yeah, until the drug bust just calls her out. And Sydney is kind of like, a little bit panicked at first, and then she realizes, like, this is smart because now mom realizes, like, we have something in common. Like, she gets, you know, that kind of having an older sibling that has gone through things, all that kind of jazz. And she does say here, so on the next page, or did I skip it? That basically, I can't remember, but I'll paraphrase it. Like, that's something that she would have, like, back in the day, that would have been, like, an immediate no, and she would have, like, been very judgy, and she's like, but obviously now she can't, and that's going to be something that, like, shows that we have something in common. So, yes, they go to eat, and she, mom, of course, loves the pizza, and she, you know, asks a little bit about the sister, and she asks a little bit about the mom. She's like, the mom is sick, right? And she's like, yep, she's sick. And she's like, okay. She asks about the music, which, of course, is bluegrass, and the name. Why is it called Seaside when obviously there's no sea? And of course, these are all things that, you know, Cindy has learned from kind of starting to get herself acquainted with this family. And things are kind of looking good because mom asks, like, hey, like, where do they live? And she's like, oh, like, about 2 blocks from here. And she's like, okay. She's like, this is going well. And just then mom gets a phone call. And of course, she suddenly seems very excited. She says, yes, let's accept the charges, which we all pretty much know what that means. So it looks like Peyton has gotten some privileges back and he is able to call. This has put mom in just like an absolutely ecstatic mood. So she does agree to the sleepover at Layla's, and which is good. But again, it's like, you know, it's a little like annoying that, of course, it's like only because her mom like gets this phone call. She says wordlessly, Layla puts a root beer yum yum beside her plate. Compensation, a gesture, sympathy. It could have been both these things or neither of them. It really didn't matter. I was grateful for it. Again, it's a gem of a friend. Like, these are good folks. They're good folks.
Very good.
Yes. And then we get to a little while later. She goes over to Layla's, realized she's not exactly the only person invited. And she's like, which is fine. I'm just like happy again to like be out of her house, be out of her, you know, kind of brother's shadow. And she realizes that Hey Dude is having like a little band practice, which is why all those cars are there. So she gets like one of the best seats in the house. This is where we learn that they're still debating on names. Apparently it used to be called Hot Dog Water, which I just think is hysterical. We are Hot Dog Water. Good night. Before they were Hey Dude, and now he doesn't like either of them. They need, you know, something in the meaning and, you know, pretentious whatnot. So they're just kind of there. We learn a little bit more about Eric and how Mac kind of like made him a better person. We learn that he was basically like a miracle baby and was such treated like that. Except the problem was, is he then began to feel like he was just like God's gift to the world. And she says that, basically that Mac, like him kind of befriending Mac sort of like made him a better person in the way that like, only like Mac can kind of get through to people. And then she says that she kind of like humbles him the rest of the way when he gets like a little bit too big for his britches, so to speak. And we also learn they go inside. So yeah, they like watch the band for a little bit more. And then they go inside where the weird looking dogs immediately come and greet her. And of course mom is in there, so you know she goes to like say hello to the mom, And she's like, you know, I hear you're spending the night. And she's like, yeah, thank you so much for having me. And this is where Layla admits that apparently the music that they heard out in the garage will not be the only music that they're fortunate enough to get to partake in, because Dad's having some people over to play some bluegrass. And her mom's like, Cindy's going to love it. Like, it's going to be great. And she's like, I don't know about that. But all right. Like, sure. We'll let her be the judge. So Mrs. Chatham asks her to go make some popcorn because she wants to talk to Sydney for a second, which of course makes Sydney like a little apprehensive at first, because she's like, oh God, like, am I in trouble or something? And she's like, you know, she's smiling though, so like it can't be too bad. So she just like sits down while Layla's kind of heating up popcorn. And Mrs. Chatham just like dives in. She's like, so I saw the article in the paper. The old elephant in the room, so to speak. And she says here, over the last few months, I'd realized that there was really no ideal way for anyone to talk to me about Peyton. If they avoided the subject, but it was clearly on their minds, things felt awkward. Addressing it head on, however, was often worse. Like a train coming toward me, I was helpless to stop. And it's like, yeah, I think it's one of those like damned if you do, damned if you don't kind of situations. And so she's like, you know, this was like, she just did it. She just went for it. And couldn't ask for more than that. And so she says, that must have been so hard for you and your family. Like, I can't, you know, even imagine. And so Sydney admits, like, yes, mostly for my mom. I hate what it's done to her. And, of course, like, Mrs. Chatham's mom, so she get it. She's like, she's suffering. It was a statement, not a question, which, yeah, like, she gets it, mom to mom. And this is where... you know, she kind of admits, she's like, yes, but like, so is David Ibarra. Like, he's, you know, he was the victim in all this. And she's like, of course, you know, absolutely. Like, of course he is. And so Sydney kind of gets to admit, she's like, I think I began, but then suddenly it was too big to say or even exist outside of my own head. It was one thing to let these thoughts haunt the dark spaces of my mind, but another entirely to put them into the light, making them real. So she finally says, I think my parents see Peyton as the victim in some ways. And I hate that. It makes me sick. It's just so it's wrong. And it's like, yeah, yeah, that would also eat at me. And I do think that her mom comes across that way a lot. And it's like, no, he did the bad thing. Like, David is the victim. Again, just because he did a bad thing doesn't mean you can't love him. Doesn't mean you can't even feel bad for him or be upset about the situation, but in no way, shape, or form is he the victim. And yeah, it's got to be hard. Again, just like the guilt is just insurmountable of this whole situation. And so Mrs. Chatham sees that. And again, another statement, she's like, you feel guilty. And Cindy's like, yes, I do so much every single day. And I'm just like, it's gonna be nice to kind of like admit that to someone. And so Mrs. Chatham just like, you know, just gives her kind of some sympathy. And she's like, oh, honey. And she's like, why do you feel like you have to shoulder your brother's responsibility? And Cindy's like, because someone has to. And she's like, that's why. Instead of replying, she squeezed my hand. I knew I could pull away and it would be all right. But when Layla came in a few minutes later with the popcorn, that was how she found us. I let so much go finally. It made sense, I suppose, that right then I would maybe just want to hold on.
Yes. Oh, I love them.
I love the Chatham family so much, y'all. Like, I love that they're exactly what Sydney needs right now. Like, they are, yes. Like, it's kind of nice. Like, A, for people to get you, to feel comfortable enough speaking these things she's been thinking for so long, to like finally be able to get those off her chest is like huge. So
yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Our girl. Oh,
Mom.
I'm like, I just want you to be able to go over there whenever you want. You deserve it.
You deserve it. You deserve it. You need your own space and your own comfort.
Yes, exactly.
But that was chapter 10 and 11.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be back in 2 weeks with 10 and no, with 12 and 13.
Yes.
We'll be here on Thursday for a little chaos. Like our stuff, comment on it, tell your friends, share it. We're on YouTube, we're on Spotify, we're on Apple Podcasts, we're everywhere, baby. So, yeah. hit us up, and we love you, and take care of yourselves.
Absolutely.